Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. My guest today is Dr. Stephanie Hutchins, and her passion and her spare time is mountain climbing. So she's going to talk about the comparison between mountain climbing and the coronavirus. So, Stephanie, let's get started by talking. What made you decide to take up mountain climbing?
Well, first, Cynthia, thanks for having me today. And, yes, I am very passionate about climbing mountains and love talking about my adventures. And so what I've been really hiking and climbing for the past 7 years now, been more seriously into it. Before I did it, like little walks and little, you know, little mountains. But a number of years ago, I experienced a significant loss in my life, and I was having a lot of trouble dealing with it. And I became very overweight. I reached 222 pounds, and I had high cholesterol before the age of 30. And my doctor, she tried to be patient with me for a few years, but eventually said, something's got to give and you got to start taking care of yourself. So I started to think about, you know, what do I enjoy doing? And I never really enjoyed just going to the gym, which just never was something that excited me. But because I grew up in the Adirondacks, and I always grew up outside, I knew that that was something I would gravitate towards, is just being outside. So I started researching meetup groups, like on meetup.com, and started looking for different groups to become active with. And I noticed that they had lots of hiking groups for local hikes. And so I said, well, I never was really into hiking before, but I said I've always liked walking and I've liked the woods, so let me try this. And so I did. I started joining meetup groups, and I'm a chatty Cathy, so I love asking people lots of questions about their lives and their interests. And so I'd ask people, why are you hiking? You know, why are you doing this? And I'd get a lot of standard responses. Oh, for my health. Oh, you know, to get fresh air, you know, to get outside. And but one person's response really intrigued me. She said, I'm doing these hikes to prepare for my big goal of climbing Mount Marcy. And at that point, I didn't even know what Mount Marcy was. And I actually grew up in the Adirondack Park, but I just never grew up thinking about the high peaks. And I had no idea that Mount Marcy was the highest point in New York. And so when she told me about it, I became very intrigued. And I went home that night and started looking into Mount Marcy and realized it was part of a list. This list of 46 highest mountains in the Adirondack Park, and lists are up my alley. Like, I'm a very goal-oriented person, and so I knew I could never get myself to go to the gym and exercise just because it was the right thing to do and it was good for me, but I knew I would get outside and be active if I was reaching for a goal to achieve. And so I started just setting my sights on list. I started setting my sights on the 35 high peaks in the Catskills, the 46 in the Adirondacks, and it just became bigger and bigger. And eventually, like, I've completed the Northeast 115 highest, so all of the 111 mountains over 4,000 feet in the northeastern U.S., and I've done them all. I've done all of the Catskills highest multiple times, at least 5 or 6 times. I've done all of them. I've climbed, 39 of the 50 U.S. state high points, and I've climbed the highest point in Latin America, Europe, and Africa, you know, so my list just starting to grow bigger and bigger, and I just fell in love, you know, with it.
It must be great getting to the top of the mountains in different countries and seeing the whole panorama.
I love traveling in general. I've been fortunate enough to travel around multiple countries across five different continents, and I love seeing differences from one place to another. I love seeing even the differences in the landscape, like the rocks, how the rocks are different, how the trees are different, the animals are different. And I love engaging with people from different cultures. And I've been fortunate enough in many of the countries that I've traveled to climb in. I've also had the opportunity to either volunteer in that country or travel through different parts of the country so I could interact with people and learn more about the culture. And it's really enriched my life. The whole experience of climbing mountains has really enriched my life on multiple levels.
Have you done Everest?
No, I have not done Everest. That was on my list for a while. You know, I climbed the highest point in Europe and in Africa is because I did have my sights set on climbing the seven summits, the highest point on each continent. But what I started to realize, I really had to sit back and reflect recently about whether I really wanted to do the seven summits. You know, I was getting challenged with the fact that in order to climb those seven mountains one time, each, that's assuming you're going to summit the first time, it will cost over $200,000 to climb seven mountains with U.S.-based companies. And it's when you're putting your life at risk with every single mountain, and you're definitely not guaranteed in summiting each one. And with the death toll rising, you know, last year there was a lot of deaths on Everest. And I really had to ask myself, am I still pursuing the mountains for the same person, for the same reason I started with? You know, I found myself in the mountains to heal. It's where I healed from my traumas and I healed from my loss, and I lost a significant amount of weight and I got healthy and I got strong mentally and physically. But what was starting to happen as I was setting my sights on big mountains like Everest, what I started to realize was I was actually breaking my body down. I was actually in a lot of pain, you know, and my hiking no longer became about this great personal journey. It became about my ego and impressing other people. And I started, you know, when I was hiking, I no longer enjoyed it anymore because I was putting on enormous packs, going as fast as I possibly could, not enjoying the journey, just really making sure that I was strong enough to impress people. And that took a lot for me to step back and realize I was getting away from my real purpose. You know, what were the mountains, you know, doing for me? And what I'm really proud to say is in recent months, I've really found myself back in the mountains again, hiking back in the Adirondacks, hiking back in the Catskills, and really reconnecting with the reasons I fell in love with the mountains in the first place. And so it's really been a great, you know, sort of cycle. You know, I'm being brought back right to the beginning of reconnecting with what, you know, the mountains offered me. So
when we were discussing, you know, the topic for today, you made an interesting point in comparing mountain climbing to the coronavirus. Can you explain that?
Yeah, so one thing you have to understand about me is that I truly believe that, you know, a lot of growth in learning can come and opportunities for just learning and, again, growing from hardship. We can learn an immense amount from hardship. And I feel that climbing mountains offered me an immense amount of personal growth because it's like a training ground for life, climbing big mountains are. It's like, when you're climbing big mountains, you know, like I started when I was morbidly obese. And so like every little hill I climbed felt as big as Everest, you know. And so just climbing like a mountain that was, you know, 3,000 feet and it was 7 miles, you know, it would take me all day to climb that. And I would have to stop many times and I'd have to keep reminding myself to focus on the goal. I'd have to talk myself out of like, you know, all of these struggles I was feeling. And it really just showed me, like, as I kept persevering through every climb and every hardship, I just realized with each climb I was getting mentally stronger to be able to deal with the blows that life will inevitably, you know, throw at us. You know, life is extremely hard and challenging in so many different respects. And so when you are like purposely immersing yourself into hard experiences, like climbing mountains that challenge you mentally and physically, it's really giving you and building in you a greater sense of determination and perseverance and the belief that hard times will not last. And that's something that I think, you know, hiking and climbing really gave me and still gives me over and over, is that reminder, is that life can be difficult, but difficult times never last permanently. They will always come to an end, and you will always come out on the other side. And you'll always come out on the other side learning from what you went through. And so, like, if I take, you know, what I've learned on the mountains and I look at what our world is just experiencing in these, like, unprecedented times with the coronavirus, I look at, like, yeah, it's hard. And for many, and there's different levels of hard. You know, some people, this is like, you know, a firestorm they're running through. And for others, it's a very sort of peace experience. But I think regardless of your experiences right now, it is a journey that you will be able to take something from. So, like, I am very interested to see, like, I'm interested to see now and will be continue to be interested in seeing how businesses adapt and respond over time, and how the landscape of even businesses will change for the future. Like, you know, I'm an educator, so I've been a college professor for 11 years, and now I work full-time at the New York State Education Department. And it has been fascinating within just a few weeks how the whole landscape of education has changed. And some of it's been hard, and I don't think some of it will be permanent, but I think already some interesting insights have already come from these shifts that have been made. And I think that's where I tie it back, is that I think we'll be learning something, all of us, from these hard times. And I think that's what I've always learned from the mountains, that the harder the mountain is, the greater my growth is. And I see that this set of situations that we're all facing is a huge mountain that we're all climbing. And just like a huge mountain, the summit may be hours or days or months away, even if you're climbing a huge mountain. And you may not know if and when you'll get there, but you know there is a top. There is a top. And there is always a way back down. And that's how it will be with this virus. There is a point where, and I don't know when it's going to be that we're going to reach the worst of it, but there will be a point where healing will occur and will rebound and will recover, because that's how life is. You know, what I have taught for most of my years as an educator is a biology, specifically human biology. And I teach about dynamic equilibriums and environments, about how environments always will naturally correct themselves, that when things get out of control and things get really bad, the environment always has a way to self-correct. And it will self-correct, you know, with these times. And so I think it's an opportunity for us to sit back and really think, okay, what can we gain from these experiences, and what can I do to take care of myself through the firestorm? You know, because it is hard and it's difficult. So what are you going to do to protect yourself? And that's where, like, on the mountains, as I'm, like, heading up towards the summit, climbing mountains is much more mental than it is physical. You know, you're having to talk yourself through it and really having to, you know, work on that internal journey. And, you know, when we were talking before, you know, I said another reason why I really relate mountain climbing to what's happening right now with the virus is that mountain climbing is really an internal journey. It's very, you're really in isolation on the journey. Even if you are with a lot of people, the people you're with, you are all in different levels as far as your mental health, physical health, and just your emotional health. And so even though you may be together physically as a unit, your journey and your experience on the mountain are very different. And so you're having to get through that journey on your own, one step at a time. And I think with the virus, with us being forced into isolation, you know, all of us, to protect each other and to slow the spread of the virus down, what I'm seeing with people is that it's very uncomfortable for many people to feel that isolation and separation. Because in general, we don't, as a society, I think, invest a lot on introspection, like spending a lot of time going inward and looking at how are we feeling during the experience and how are we going to get ourselves through it. And so I think it's really, like, I got that practice in the mountains, you know, but I think for other people, this is their mountain, you know, like they're having to work on how am I going to deal with what I'm, all this discomfort and all this hurt and pain I'm feeling right now, how am I going to take care of that in myself to get through on the other side? And
And Stephanie, I do have a question. When you climb mountains, you prepare yourself. You prepare yourself mentally, emotionally, and physically. But with this coronavirus, it just came on like gangbusters. And from one minute we were going out to events, we were going out to dinner with our friends, seeing our family, and then all of a sudden, within a matter of days, you can't do that anymore. So there was not really that much time to prepare yourself mentally and emotionally for what came down the pike. Would you agree with that?
Well, in some ways, yes, but you have to understand something else about me. You know, Cynthia, I believe I told you that, you know, I'm also a life coach and I have a life coaching practice where I help people through stressful life events and traumatic life events. And one thing that I always have to tell all of my clients is that the job of, so in life coaching, we believe that everyone has all of the resources inside of themselves to be able to get through any challenging time, any challenging event in their life. And it's about, the job of the coach is to show people how to be able to access those resources. And why I say that right now is that although this virus came on so quickly and disrupted everyone's lives so quickly, I really would challenge people to look back into their past and really evaluate times in their life where they were thrown off guard, where they were hit with something in their life, and how did they recorrect? How did they get back standing after that? And if you look back in all of our histories, we all have had circumstances that have knocked us off guard, you know? And if we really look and see, we do have the resources within ourselves to be able to make it through this, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's about, you know, really tapping into what are those resources we have. So, like, one thing is really important, I think, for everyone to be practicing right now is self-care, you know. And that is something that I think many of us might have fallen away, you know. People forget to really look at taking care of their needs first, you know. And I think this is an opportunity. The virus is giving us an opportunity to see, like, how can we take care of ourselves? And what have we done in the past that has served us, like, that has made us feel happy and content and at peace and relaxed and really tapping into those resources now? You know, I think, like, when I'm climbing mountains, like, as much as, like, I'd say, like, yes, I did a lot of training on the mountains. There's unexpected events happen all the time on the mountains. If you're on a huge glaciated mountains, you can have somebody fall into a crevasse. You can have an avalanche. I've been on mountains where out of the blue, it starts thundering and lightning, and you're at the summit of a mountain, and you're miles away from any cover. And it's like you've got to think quickly and how to react. And if you think about it, we all have it in us to be able to self-correct. It's just we've got to take that time to sit back and calm ourselves down and remember we are able to get through this. It's just if I think part of the difficulty is we're being bombarded every minute of every day about this virus and the negativity that's happening. But people aren't reminding us about how resourceful we are, how resourceful our world is, about the positivity that's still happening in the world while all this devastation is occurring. And so people need to be able to sit back and I think actually step away many times of what's happening right now in the world and remind themselves of the positivity in them, in their lives and in the world, even though this devastation is around us, you know, because I think if people don't see this light, you know, that there is a light at the end of this, they're going to get immersed in the disaster that's occurring. They're going to get immersed in the anxiety and they're not going to see a way out of it. They're not going to see that there will be an end. And then they'll be filled with hopelessness and helplessness. And I think that's where we've started to see that with the panic that's been seen in stores and, you know, a lot of people are panicking now. And I think, you know, it's important to remember that we'll come on the other side, and this is where it helps with each other. Like the work that you do, this organization of, you know, having people to come on and remind, like, bad times will end, you know, and, you know, be able to sit back and think, okay, how can you get through it? Because you will. You know, we'll all get through this, and we'll get through it by supporting one another and also supporting ourselves, you know, taking care of ourselves along the way.
But, you know, I think a major factor in this is the fact that, okay, we're all in this together, but we're isolated. We're isolated, and thank goodness we have, you know, social media right now, but the isolation, I mean, I'm talking to you and this is a great conversation, but that doesn't take away from the fact that when I get off the phone, I'm still by myself and a lot of people are still by themselves. And even though they have a little support system, it's really difficult.
And I completely acknowledge and respect that, and I think that's where the significance of self-care comes in, and also looking at, like, for example, like another thing that I teach is evolution, okay? So I also understand a lot about, you know, us being social creatures and, you know, and all of that from even an evolutionary perspective. So I understand why it is so essential for us to be connected with one another. But as a life coach who works with people with trauma and extreme stress, I also know that people engage in a lot of activities in other and with other people in order to offer distractions from them dealing with what's going on hard inside of them. It's a way to avoid the difficult thoughts that they may be feeling. And part of the discomfort that's happening right now in this isolation is that for most of many people's lives, they've been able to avoid you know, feeling and thinking about difficult thoughts by working, by going to the gym, by going out with friends. But now they're being forced to be, to just be by themselves. Mm-hmm. And so that is very challenging when you have not made a practice of doing that before. And that's why I'll say, mm-hmm. again, I've been very fortunate that I got that practice in the mountains, you know. But for those people that don't have that practice, it's about really, like, I encourage journaling, you know, getting it out. Like, why is the isolation so challenging? What is it that you are feeling in this moment that you're trying to resist? Like, why are you wanting to leave the house? What is it that you're not wanting to acknowledge or face? And you're going to find that a lot of people are wanting to avoid difficult thoughts and feelings that they've pressed down for most of their years. And they're scared and they're worried about that coming up. And so I really think it's about having that way to process that information. And I know not everyone has somebody to talk to at home, but if you do, you know, call a friend, a family member. But if you don't have a person, that's where I really recommend that you talk to yourself and you grab a notebook, you grab your computer, you have an online journal you can even make and just write out, what are you feeling? Why is this so challenging? And really take this opportunity to do that internal work. And I'm telling you, I really think that that in and of itself, that forcing of people to look inward and looking at why they're wanting to escape, you know, from their house and their isolation will really be enlightening for many people. You know, I think that is a great opportunity that could potentially come from this for many people.
Well, you know, Stephanie, our time is almost up, and I would like to have you back on Women Who Inspire. You are a terrific speaker. So give yourself a little plug and let everybody know that we will be having other discussions on Women Who Inspire. Tell everybody what you do.
Okay, so thanks, Cynthia. So my coaching practice is called Serotonous Life, and I do work with individuals one-on-one, but I also have two online courses that people can do. One is for healing from trauma, and one is for stress management. And really my job and my mission in life is really for people to learn that their hardest struggles in life will not destroy them. If anything, they're going to make them stronger. And I truly believe that about what's happening right now in the world. We'll come out better because of it, and I do believe that.
Great. So if somebody's listening to you and wants to get in contact with you, how could they do so?
So they can go to my website, serotonouslife.com. And I know it's difficult for people to spell, but serotonous is S-E-R-T-I-N-O-U-S. So serotonouslife, all one word, .com.
Okay, great. So, Stephanie, I want you back because you can shed light on a number of issues. So you've been listening to Dr. Stephanie
Stephanie Hutchins.
Hutchins, I'm so sorry. And this is Women Who Inspire. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook, Women Who Inspire. And on Twitter, it's... let me get my book out a second. It's Women Inspire 21 on Twitter. Thanks, Stephanie. We will talk again. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Be safe. Have a good day. And I hope everybody stays healthy. Thank you.
Thank you.